I broke the law, now I'm a victim. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute of Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you, Barry. We missed making a new show last night, so we're making new shows today. That happens. We have technical issues from time to time, and last night was one of them.
I am a technical issue, Chuck. I just have to embrace that. Well, Chuck, at least when we record, we are doing it openly and honestly in front of people. Well, at least in front of you and I, and maybe our families as they watch us, our faces in front of the microphone every evening or often evenings. We're not going and hiding with our flip phone and secretly recording other people talking. Because, Chuck, I believe, and I hope that you do too, and I believe that I can safely say you do, that we believe that that is unethical and immoral. Not to mention, in many jurisdictions, illegal. And so if we were to do something like that, if all of a sudden for some reason we're struck with this irresistible urge to go and surreptitiously record somebody, I would hope, first of all, we'd think about the morality and the legality and the ethics of it, and we would refrain from doing it. But the one thing that I certainly hope, Charles, is that if we were to succumb to the temptation to do that, even though all of the moral, ethical, and legal barriers might be against us, and we did it anyway, that the last thing we would do is then cry that we were a victim when somebody actually called us to account for the moral, ethical, and legal issues that we created from our activities. But then again, neither one of us are liberals.
Well, that's right. But I don't want to take this too far that direction, because there are also conservatives who have engaged in the end justifies the means. And let's talk about what are the limits of journalistic practice regarding recording of conversations.
Well, and what we're talking about for our listeners who may have they've clicked past this channel in their daily watching of the news is the fact that a gentleman by the name of Curtis Morrison, who is, well, for his own description, pretty much a independent journalist, if I can say that, Chuck. He does a lot of stuff for little alternative papers and things of that nature. And he's a liberal activist, a progressive, and he lived in Kentucky. And what he did, for those of you who've heard about this, was that he secretly taped a meeting of Senator Mitch McConnell, who's the Republican U.S. minority leader in the United States Senate. His reelection team were working on opposition research. Now, you know, Chuck, I've done some campaigns in my time, and opposition research can get to be really interesting because you're digging up everything you could possibly think of and things that maybe they didn't even think of to try to pin on your opponent to show that they are out of step with the mainstream of the voters. So sometimes those planning meetings can get, well, shall we say, a little outrageous as people are coming up with all kinds of ideas. Well, it was just this type of meeting that Mr. Morrison, he didn't sneak into it. He snuck outside the door at an air vent and put his flip phone up and recorded it on his phone. All of this talk about the opposition research on then potential Democrat candidate for United States Senate, the actress Ashley Judd. Now, he got caught because he sent the information, the recordings, to a place called Mother Jones, which is a news magazine, if you want to call it news, and website. It's a liberal, progressive, green, leftist piece of trash, but other than that, he sent this recording to them, and they published it and with a transcript and analyzed it, and all of a sudden it was like how bad Mitch McConnell is because he's going to beat up on poor Ashley Judd. Well, welcome to politics, Ashley. That's how it works. But the point is that now Morrison is facing some heat, and he's not just facing heat, Chuck, from conservatives and from McConnell's campaign and even from the FBI, who are now getting involved because, well, this could be considered illegal wiretapping or other illegalities, depending upon both federal and Kentucky state law. But that doesn't seem to faze Mr. Morrison.
Well, what he's in trouble for is more or less wiretapping. He surreptitiously recorded a conversation that he was not a part of. And that's an important piece of this puzzle, Barry. Let's talk about journalistic excess and journalistic limits. The fact is that there's a guy named James O'Keefe who has become both famous and infamous for doing things like sending people to pose as underage pregnant people into Planned Parenthood clinics where, in fact, those underage people are told how to violate the law to get an abortion. And he's done this by way of hidden microphones and hidden cameras. Well, since the person who's going in is part of the team and is aware that they're being recorded and they're recording an illegal transaction, that is a legitimate journalistic exercise. They aren't trespassing. They aren't going in and planting bugs and mics and slipping cell phones under a door, recording transactions they're not a part of, if you get the difference. Now, O'Keefe has also been arrested and charged with doing something that I thought went too far, and that is he showed up at a, I believe, state legislator's office in, I think, Louisiana, and posed as a telephone repairman or technician or something so he could get in and plant a bug on a phone. Okay, ding, 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 what's wrong with this picture? That is a federal offense. It's illegal, and it should be, because he wasn't part of the conversation. It was not a transaction that he was a part of or some agent of his. This was an attempt to tap a telephone. That's a problem for me, ethically.
Yeah.
And that's what this Morrison character has done here. Now, he is all over the place attempting to defend himself. He tries every kind of logical fallacy in the book to defend the fact that he broke the law. And in fact, at one point, he admits he broke the law and then says that his crime is alleged. Well, what he means by that is that it hasn't been proven in a court of law yet, but here he is admitting it in print. We're going to post a link to an article in Salon Magazine in which you can watch this Curtis Morrison dance. He's all over the place. Now, first of all, this guy claims he has no personal animosity against Mitch McConnell, going on to explain that he just thinks that he's bad for Kentucky. But at one point, he calls him a jackass and says he's just running this horrible, dirty campaign against Ashley Judd. Well, the horrors of the campaign against Ashley Judd were essentially reading her book, which Mitch McConnell was quoted as having said that this is a haystack made of needles, opposition research. And if you get the reference, like searching for a needle in a haystack, he's like, this haystack's made of needles. And Barry, all you had to do was listen to the woman on the campaign trail and listen to some of the clips that places like Breitbart.com came up with of this woman speaking. And let me tell you, he was not wrong. So the reason that she withdrew from the race was because, A, it was going to get dirty, because if this woman had been a candidate for governor of Kentucky, there would be people who voted for her because she's been in the movies and she's famous and no other reason. Her right. mother is a country western singer. And I'll be quite honest, her mother said Ashley thinks she's smarter than she is. Her grandmother said, if you run, I'm voting for Mitch McConnell. This does not bode well for your candidacy, Barry. And I think liberals like Morrison, who still thinks that she would have been a great candidate, and I think he thinks she would have been a great candidate, is because she's got all the progressive bona fides. She's pro-abortion. She's ultra-progressive on taxes. She campaigned for Barack Obama. She's a tax the rich. And of course, what that means is tax all the rich except me.
Yeah.
Since I'm an artist, my taxes should be exempt. That kind of thinking. And so, of course, Morrison is very disappointed that Ashley Judd won't be the candidate. What's going to happen here, and he's very taken aback by the fact that one of his progressive heroes, who is a Democratic representative from the Louisville area named John Yarmuth, and unfortunately, I think this is my sister's congressman. I think I've heard a complaint about this guy. He's like an ultra-progressive. This guy threw him under the bus. And he should have, Barry. This Morrison character has no conscience. And that shows by what he's written in his article. It's a hodgepodge of, I will not play the victim here. And then the very next paragraph, he plays the victim. In fact, all you got to do is read the subtitle on his article, My Effort to Expose the Senate Minority Leader's Ugly Campaign Upended My Life. I'm struck by the irony of Mr. Morrison here when he says things like, get this paragraph. Unlike Mitch McConnell, I will not paint myself as a victim. I have not heard McConnell paint himself as a victim. In fact, McConnell is a victim of a crime.
Yes, he actually is. Now, the only thing McConnell had said was he deplored and denounced Nixonian tactics.
Exactly.
That was basically all he said about that.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what Morrison says. I've learned a lot in these weeks. Yeah, I don't think so. From this article, I don't think he's learned anything. But nothing stung like hearing this Representative Yarmuth brush me aside like that. I was so upset, all I could do was go for a long run. Frankly, I had a good cry, and as I pounded away the stress and frustration of that moment, I had to wonder, did I make a mistake? Sir, you did not make a mistake. You committed a crime.
Exactly. It's like he's trying to soft pedal all this, Chuck. He knows that he now is in deep because the FBI is now investigating him. And so now it's time to start saying, oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to be doing this. Maybe that was just, it's just an innocent mistake. Now, that's all it was, an innocent mistake.
Well, he goes on to elaborate on his quote-unquote citizen journalist credentials. And he does so by quoting Howard Zinn. Now, a lot of people out there won't know who Howard Zinn is. This is a little bit of inside baseball. You and I both know who Howard Zinn is.
Oh, yes.
He wrote a book called The People's History of the United States. It is, well, it's a Marxist tome. Howard Zinn was a doctrinaire Marxist. And by that, we mean he subscribed to Marxist theory on history. And Marxist theory on history is that history is all moving towards an endpoint. And that endpoint, unlike the Christian idea that all history is moving towards an endpoint, and the endpoint in Christianity is the return of Jesus Christ for the separation of the sheep and the goats, in communism, all of history is moving towards a Marxist or communist society. The struggle of the haves and have-nots, blah, blah, blah. So he is quoting a man who basically is antithetical to the American view of government, which is that there is a creator God, our rights come from him, and that the purpose of government is to protect those rights. That's not where Mr. Morrison is coming from, even slightly. And if you look at it from that perspective, then suddenly things become very clear. He talks about how he has performed journalism by going to these things, and he's the only one there, blah, blah, blah. So he's got 100 videos up on his YouTube channel. Now, he's saying, my journalistic career may be over. Well, yeah, a lot of your career may be over. He was set to go to law school, and this is a man who's like 45 years old, and he's just getting ready to start law school. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. My grandfather didn't graduate from law school until he was in his 50s, but it was a second career for him. Nobody seems to know what this guy does and who funds him to show up at all these things and do these journalistic things that he does. But he can't stop himself from, for instance, taking a swing at Sarah Palin, bringing out that old story that Sarah Palin, he's making reference to the fact that she supposedly said she could see Russia from her house.
Yes.
Okay, what's wrong with that, Barry? Did Sarah Palin actually say that?
Whether she said it or not, there very well could be true, as close as Alaska is to Russia.
Well, she did not say that. Actually, Tina Fey said that as she was dressed up as Sarah Palin.
Ah, see, there you go.
And somehow that actually became part of the lexicon of something Sarah Palin, she's stupid because she said that. Well, sorry, folks. Sarah Palin never said that. And so this crack he takes at Sarah Palin, if this is typical of the type of journalistic excellence he displays, good luck and have fun in whatever federal detention center you end up in. Because the fact is that this man is not as he purports himself to be. He recruited someone to go along with him. He borrowed somebody else's flip phone, and the guy, of course, now has dumped him because he doesn't want to get painted with that brush. But, of course, Mr. Morrison's boohooing about how he lost his friends and got thrown under the bus, blah, blah, blah. Well, he explains how he broke the law. He trespassed. He went into a building, and he snuck in because nobody was sitting at the reception desk on private property. Again, now he's got trespassing under his belt. He knew better than this. He wasn't invited to this meeting.
And it wouldn't have been so bad, Chuck, had it not been the fact that the meeting was being held on the second floor of the building, not the first.
Exactly, Barry. So we've got just a myriad of problems with this guy. This article goes on and on and on. It's about 3,000 words long or so. And it's written very dramatically. And it just shows that this man is clueless about anything ethical. Now, what's the worldview behind what he's done? He's making excuses that it's bad that McConnell is doing whatever he's supposedly doing to Kentucky and the country. I like this. We're almost out of time, but he talks about public policy polling is a go-to group. If you want your poll to have a liberal bias, public policy polling is where to go.
Is the place to go. Absolutely. I've had some experience with that group, and so, yes, I will definitely second that.
So, basically, if I ask you what worldview, what essential philosophy he is espousing in this article, what would your answer be in just a few words?
Well, it's humanism. And it's the idea that no matter what you do, everything is ethical. And if you get caught, then you're a victim because the circumstances or the environment or somebody else was at fault.
Okay, can I boil that down for you real quick?
Please do.
Wes, get ready to sign off. The end justifies the means.
Oh, well, absolutely. Situational ethics, yes.
It's situational ethics. If he did it, it's okay. If James O'Keefe did it, it's bad because, after all, his is the only viable position. Therefore, the end justifies the means. I have to win. And since history is all moving towards a one-world Marxist dictatorship of the proletariat, then whatever I do to get us there is good. Anything else is bad. Barry, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.